take your Bibles, turn with me this afternoon to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians and chapter 5. And we begin with a point that I've titled this afternoon, A Great Mystery, to close out the last remaining four verses, remaining in this chapter. Begins with verse 30. There will be several points under that. The first point that we'll be dealing with is that we are members of His body. Members of His body. First of all, before we get started, though, let's read beginning with verse 30 through the end of the chapter. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see to it that she reverence her husband. Of course, we know that in verse 30, the word for joins us to that which was previously said in verse 29. Is given as a reason for adhering to that which was previously said. Or verse 30 is given as a reason for that which was previously said concerning a man, men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church, his body. The metaphor of the church being his body there. So verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are members of his body. Well, who is he speaking to here? He's speaking to a church, particularly the saints at Ephesus. The Ephesian church is who he was speaking to concerning. And each one of them were members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And as it is said concerning the Ephesian church, it is said the same thing about every church of like faith and order, like faith and practice. Every church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with distinction to kind, his kind of church. So we, the Ephesians, and we, the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida, are members of his body, the body of Christ, we hear it referred to often. Although generally, and even in religious realms, when we hear phrase the body of Christ, you and I understand it to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they use it synonymous with all the saved on earth at one time. The kingdom. And that is not synonymous. His body is not that broad in scope. It is a particular body. Body of his kind. Body having reference to the church and not to salvation. Salvation is in Christ and abiding in Christ. And that has to do with salvation. So it says, of his flesh, of his bones, of his body. Well, we understand a body is made up of flesh and bones. So he says, of his flesh and of his bones. Turn with me to the book of John. The book of John, and we want to take note in the Lord's Prayer, his intercessory prayer. The book of John, chapter 17. And Jesus praying to his heavenly Father and praying concerning those that the Father had given him, specifically concerning his church. This is right on the heels of his discourse with the church from the 13th chapter of John through the 16th chapter of John. And now the 17th, he is praying for that church, for that assembly. He says in verse 21, he said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Here he's talking about his body being one. And that's not difficult to understand when we think of it in comparison to a body, to the human body, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12 does, compares the body of Christ to the human body. The human body is one body, and it's made up of many different members, but you have one body, and so the body of Christ is many different members and is one body. That is the Grace Baptist Church. The Ephesian Church was one body. The Church at Jerusalem was one body. He's praying that they would be one in unity and one in goals and endeavors. You see, when you think about that, Jesus praying for that, that's not always so with the Lord's churches, is it? They're not always functioning as one because, well, I have my ideas, you have your ideas, and each one of us have our own ideas. But we got to come together and bring them in together as one, you see. And it's not about my idea and your idea and the other one's idea, but it's about what says the Lord. What does the Lord want? What saith the Lord? Jesus prayed for his church, prayed that they would be one in oneness. They are one body. And he's praying that they would be in oneness as well, which is the input of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and continue on into the fifth chapter, that it be functioning in oneness as the one body, as it should be, and each member operating and functioning for the benefit of that body. This is not his literal bodily flesh. I don't think there's anybody here today that would understand that to be of his literal bodily flesh and bones, but as a metaphor. A metaphor of his body. So when we read Ephesians 5:30, we understood it to be a metaphor of his body, not his literal bodily flesh. Just as we referenced 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're not going to look at much because we did that a few months ago when we handled the body of Christ and what is meant by the body of Christ. But he told the Corinthian church here in verse 27, after giving the illustration of the human body and comparing it, the body of Christ to the human body and everything, he says in verse 27, he says, now ye are the body of Christ. You Corinthian church, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Not only the Corinthian church, but the Grace Baptist Church. Every church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the body of Christ with members in particular. That is, as your individuals, you're a piece, you're a portion of that body. Each one of us don't need to think that we're separate from the body. You know, in some churches, some people get the feeling that they're not part of the body. Well, if they're a member and in good standing, they're a part of that body. And they're to be working and functioning as a part of that body. They are necessary to that body. Every member here at the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida, is vital, is essential to the body of Christ. You are a part of this body, and we ought to be functioning as so. Some people have the idea when they're looking for a church, they seek out a bigger church, one that they feel like they can kind of slip in and just kind of be there unnoticed and not really have to be depended on to do anything. You know, because if it's a smaller congregation, then, I might be expected to do this or to do that. If you're a member of one of the Lord's bodies, then you ought to expect to do something. Whether it's just to be an encouragement to someone. Just be a help to someone. Just to be, as Ephesians chapter 4 said, just to edify and to build up one another in the faith. The Lord Jesus Christ cherished all of his people. All his people, all saved, all those whom he came to die for, he cherished, he loved them. He loved them so much that he gave his life for them. He cherishes them. But it is only in the church that they are nourished by him. Let me get back here to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. In I can't find the verse. Should have wrote it down. It's the one that talks about him nourishing and cherishing it. And that's what he does for his body. And so it's only those who are members of one of his churches that are really and appropriately nourished by him. You see, it gets into ground that many of us can't fully answer, but I know that it is his perfect will that all who are saved be baptized. And what is baptism? It is the door to the church. They become members of that baptizing body. It is his perfect will that they do so, that they do so. But now, not all will be, because they're not all chosen to be. Understand that? Well, I don't understand it fully. To understand that, we would have to have the mind of Christ, and we don't have fully the mind of Christ. We know that it is so. We know that it is so from his word that he directs men that are saved to be baptized, become fruitful members of his church. So the point we're getting at here, though, is those who saved, maybe even give evidence of salvation, but they just aren't ready to be baptized, don't want to be baptized. That individual. And there are a lot of them out there. There are a lot of saved folks out there who are not in the Lord's church. What's that say about them? Are they second-class citizens? No. And they experience some growth from the study of God's Word. But they are not fully nourished like they could be, like they would be if they were in the Lord's church. Turn with me to the book of Acts. A passage of scripture that we have looked at many times. The book of Acts in chapter 20. And look with me here at verse 28. Directing the pastors of the Ephesian church, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." To feed the church of God. "Look to yourselves and to all the flock And what are they to, what are they do to do for all the flock? What are they do to do for all the church of God, of which they are overseers of, in this case, the Ephesian church? What were they to do for them? They were to feed. That word feed there doesn't mean just food. It is nurturing of their whole spiritual life and physical as well. Earlier, up a few verses in the same chapter, see if I can find it. Survey. He said in verse 20, he said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saving that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the mystery which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." There is the nourishment that comes from being a member of the Lord's church. Faithful pastors who he is admonishing in verse 28 he's admonishing them to declare the whole counsel of God unto the flock. And so a pastor should be striving and endeavoring to do that, that the flock might be nourished. And that is the work of God. The Holy Spirit nourishes the flock as the pastor, he directs the pastor in the studies of his word and the messages that he is to preach and to bring, and the members are nourished thereby. Turn to me the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy, in chapter 3. In verse 15, we read these words, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Doesn't it make common sense that if you're going to be nourished, if you're going to be fed, and you're going to have all that you need taken care of in a church, that you want to get in the church of God, the house of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of truth? There is the basis for my being nourished. There is the basis for your being nourished as this institution, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida, is giving truth, and she is the pillar and ground of that truth, upholding that truth. It's truth that nourishes us. It's truth that feeds us. It's truth that causes us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from truth, you don't have it. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, then you don't have the truth. You don't have all the truth. The Lord's church has the truth. He puts it in his church. It is his depository. And she shares it with her members. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. The book of Ephesians chapter 3. One who is born again, saved, should want to bring honor and glory unto the Lord and praise unto the Lord. Ephesians 3 and verse 21 says, unto him be glory in the church. How are you gonna bring glory unto God? And that's not to say that those that aren't members, that are saved and aren't members of the Lord's church, can't bring some glory unto God. But you can only fully bring real glory unto God as you're a member of the Lord's church. Unto him be glory, unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That is to take place in the church. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, then you can't bring all the glory that is due unto him outside the church. And you know the in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that I think it's about verse 13. Let me go there and look. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All these things are flooding in my mind as preaching. I didn't write them down. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That is, the Spirit of God quickens a soul, makes him alive in Christ Jesus, and that Holy Spirit leads that individual to become a member, to be baptized, and become a member of the Grace Baptist Church, Florida. In this case, the Corinthian Church in Corinth. In our case, the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. And thus, God set in the church as it pleased him, as he desired to do, that they might be nourished, that they might be fed, and become, through that nourishment, become faithful members. Pops, be his bride. Be his bride in glory. He is deposited his truth in his church for safekeeping. He has commissioned her as his executive here on earth. She is the guardian and proclaimer of his word. I know we all know Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. But we'll go ahead and turn there and read it quick. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word of power, authority, goes to doing as one pleases. Jesus has that ability because he's God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Those that are saved, we're to lead them to the waters of baptism through the Holy Spirit's leading. Sometimes we run across those that, I don't want to be baptized right now. I've known a few of them in my time. But by and large, they should follow our leading if they're saved. And then they become members of the church, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There the church is the depository. There the church is the executive on earth to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is his executive to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And she is his executive to teach those converts, those new converts, those new members, the whole Word of God. As members of his body, we are vitally connected. Vitally connected. And therefore are necessary for the success of that local visible body. You are necessary for the success, for the sustenance, for the edifying, for the building up of this body. Back to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4 and look at verse 16. What he said here gives us concerning the church the metaphor of a body. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He compares it to a body that is fitly joined together. These bodies are fitly joined together. And you can't sever my arm here at this joint in the elbow and attach it to Harold. It won't fit. It won't mesh together. But it's part of my body, you see. And you take that to the body of Christ. Has put you here. He's fitted you here with this body. We're fitly joined together. And we're fitly joined together not only with joints, but in those joints then you have ligaments and tendons and all that stuff and muscle connected and everything that goes in to the body. And he likens that to the church being connected in that way. The responsibility of the church, well, of each member of the church, that they walk worthy. Verse 1. That they walk worthy of the calling wherewith they've been called. That they walk in lowliness. They walk in meekness. They walk in long-suffering. They walk forbearing one another. See, it's not about me. What I do, I'm to do for your benefit. It's not about you. What you to do, you're to do for Sister Bourne's benefit. You're to do for my benefit. You're to do that the body of Christ here at Melbourne, Florida, might be built up. Endeavoring, laboring, striving with great labor and great work to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. He gives us that likeness. Let me go down a ways, and he says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some churches. He gave these too. And some pastors and teachers, pastor teachers. These he gave to the church. And what purpose did he give these to the church for? Why did he give some men as apostles, and some men as prophets, and some men as evangelists, and some men as pastors, teachers? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Why? That we might endure, might keeping on, and that we might be steadfast until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come in that full unity and knowledge of the Son of God, so that we don't be that we be not children. Children are kind of wishy-washy thing. They're tossed to and fro, and we're not to be children tossed to and fro, but carried about by every wind of doctrine. That's why you have pastor teachers given to the assembly, to the flock, to edify. And each member is to be working to that end, to the edifying, the building up. And we do that by walking lowly and walking meekly and walking with long suffering and not exalting ourselves, but trying to help someone else and build them up in the faith. Well, we'll quit there today. Next week we'll go on with the point under this.